This is Megatron. This is the glorious Megatron. And this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Steve G1 Mike. And I am joined once again by Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Today we will be covering three more episodes of Beast Wars Season 1. So, how have you been, Michael?
Not bad. Not doing very much, actually. Just kind of hanging out.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Did you ever find Perry?
No, I did. Actually, I almost bought a Perry the Platypus t-shirt.
Oh, my God.
I did. I was.
I'm assuming that you mean that that's for either Aiden or Gavin.
No, that was for me.
Oh, my God.
I totally dig it. Yeah, I was going to get the hoodie, and they only had the hoodie in youth sizes. And I was like, man, I should get Aiden a hoodie. But I wanted a matching hoodie so we could do the, you know, the father and son thing.
Yeah.
I thought that would be cute. And I couldn't find the matching hoodie, so I just decided against it.
Yes, we are so going to have to do a Geekcast Radio episode of Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, I love that show.
At some point. Don't know when, but at some point.
Aiden's fixated on it, so.
Yeah.
And it's like. It's like, yeah, well, I watch it because he watches it, yeah.
Actually, I started watching it because I found out that Ashley Tisdale, who started out on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, voices Candace, and I was like, wait, she does voice acting?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
It's the boring and uneventful and completely unentertaining life of Zack and Cody.
Oh, come on.
I can't
anyway.
Stand that show.
A lot of
Disney shows I can handle. Can't handle that one.
Bring back Boy Meets World.
Oh, actually, God. that is finally getting a the fourth season DVD release after so many years
of
being.
Freaking kidding me? It's taking this long?
Yeah.
I have an entire not getting to your series.
Yeah, well, just head on over to TV shows on DVD, search for Boy Meets World, and you can read all about it.
Yeah, And for those of you that decide to buy TV shows online,
I didn't even get to ask. Yeah, how are you, Steve?
Yes. Never buy a TV show from eBay unless it is like one of those ones that is a power seller and a huge, you know, e-seller. Because if you buy it from anybody else, you're pretty much going to get raped.
Mm-hmm.
On DVDs, like, I've been searching for Batman the Animated Series, the complete series, mind you. And granted, there are some that are legit on eBay, but they cost an ungodly amount of money. And the other ones, they're all disguised to appear like they are the official copy. But upon further inspection and comparing them to...
my set.
Mike's, yes. Mine looked almost identical, with the exception of the various typos all over the packaging. And not to mention the on the underside of the discs, where they have like the little information burned into the center ring of them, they have like the numbers on the discs are spelled wrong. I mean, it's just retarded, and it's a Chinese bootleg knockoff. And so I told this guy after, actually somebody contacted me first and said, yeah, I just bought the same thing from this guy, it's a bootleg. So we collaborated in our information and sent this guy something, and he's going to supposedly give a full refund with my I had to pay $9 shipping to send this fucker back to him, so I'm not quite a happy camper. So I gotta buy them all as separate seasons.
Well, wait, dude, because, I mean, we're gonna be getting to that eventually, you know, on Tooncast down the line. Why don't you just wait?
Because my mom's already ordered them. She bought them from Barnes & Noble, where they're actual legit copies from Warner Brothers. Where I know that they're actually going to be legit copies. And, mind you, when I opened up the bootleg copies of this collector set, I copied the bonus disc, just because...
You know, there's only one... And see, that's what really pisses me off.
One disc.
Yeah, well, no, it's not that. I mean, there's only one, like, true special feature tied into BTAS on that disc. The rest of it's just, like, promo stuff or upcoming stuff with DC Universe animated original movies, which is kind of stupid. They could have, you know, put a lot more special features on that than just the one. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been cool to see, but, I mean, I'm not that concerned with it now. I'll have that. And on another side note, I got a new... Well, it's not new. It's my dad's old monitor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a flat panel Sony 19-inch, which is a 4-inch bigger difference than what I had before on my CRT, and it doesn't squeal when I turn it on.
That's always good.
Yes, picture is very nice.
It's always amazing when you upgrade from a CRT to a flat screen. Because you don't think it's going to be that much different, and then you're like, wow.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this day.
It's always exciting.
But yeah, anyways, that's pretty much all that's been going on with me lately.
Alrighty then. Well, I guess we will get into some episodes.
Rhinox Terrorize! Afternoon, all. This a private club, or can anybody join?
Let me be the first to welcome you. Everyone, meet our new Predacon.
Up first today is Dark Designs. After witnessing Rhinox's deft defense of the retreating Maximals, Megatron orders Tarantulas to capture the stalwart scientist. Tarantulas does just that and reprograms Rhinox as an evil Predacon. Learning of this shocker, Optimus Primal surprises his fellow Maximals by taking no action and allowing Megatron to keep his brainwashed prisoner. What does Primal suspect that the rest of the Maximals don't? This is a pretty cool episode.
This might be one of my favorites so far.
Yeah, it is definitely one of my favorites so far. And yes, Michael, from when we were doing our Toycast talk the other night, I think it was episode 45, the chain gun of Doom's chain does turn when the gun is firing.
And it has the bolos attached.
Yep.
Which I never noticed before, and I'm thinking to myself, did they just put the bolos on in this episode? I'm sure they were there before, I just never noticed.
Hey, wait, I thought once Megatron reprogrammed a bot that programming could not be undone. G1 reference.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I don't know, it's dumb.
I get what they were going for this.
This was just a plot device episode.
Right, well, I mean, I get what they were going for it, but it's like, wait. So he reprogrammed him, but he didn't really reprogram him at all. He just hit him with a laser that didn't work.
No, I think he turned him into a Predacon because the number one, he changed colors. He went from the green and the gold to a green and a silver, and
well,
he had
more like a neon green afterwards with a silver.
Yeah, well, he looked good. I thought it was cool.
Oh yeah, I would have liked to have seen a toy of this.
Yeah, and he had a Predacon symbol on his head. Well, the symbols on the other side of his forehead,
right,
changed to Predacon symbols. So I really think that he was a Predacon, but, you know, his darker instincts came out to the, you know, to the foreground of his personality that way.
Oh, right. And I don't think, I mean, before I did my initial run-through of all three seasons, and before I watched it for this, for just, you know, for doing this, I had seen Beast Machines before I had seen all these Beast Wars episodes. So I, you know, this foreshadows him going evil in Beast Machines.
It was a practice run.
Yes.
Well, yeah, so when you bring that up, it's like, why would Megatron do that again?
Yeah, exactly.
Knowing what happened the first time.
I'm posting you guys a link in the window here just to the Dark Designs episode page. Scroll all the way to the bottom of the page. You will see a caption, Grapity Purple Edition not sold in stores, or anywhere else for that matter.
Yeah, that is pretty weird.
Yeah. But you think with all the other repaints that this mold had,
yeah,
that, you know, it'd be a layup to do the evil version.
Yes.
In fact, I'm surprised they released like a Fox Kids recolor and didn't use that one.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I like the fact that Megatron bit off way more than he could chew. That's funny. The Waspinator splat alert. I'm actually torn with this because I've already gotten the quote audio for like my favorite quote of the episode or a good, really good quote for the episode. I may have to put this at the very end after the end theme. I don't know, but he turns into shrapnel and he starts just going nuts more than usual.
Well, that, I mean, this is before they introduced the whole spark concept, but it makes you wonder if he wasn't shrapnel.
Hey!
Maybe he was, and shrapnel, something went wrong when they underwent, Predacon downsizing.
Yeah, that could be it. I don't know. No, he couldn't be shrapnel.
It's possible.
Shrapnel turned into one of the Unicron lackeys.
Yeah, because shrapnel became a sweep.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
He'll sweep you.
Reference my latest blog post, you'll see.
You wrote a blog on it?
No, back when I was doing research for episode 16 of TFG1,
yeah.
I painstakingly went through that scene of where they get changed over and got screen caps of all the ones to see what they were into what they become.
Right.
Let's see. Dinobot and Optimus get their asses handed to them at the beginning of the big battle. And then after that, oh damn, Optimus slices Megatron's Tyranno arm off.
Takes his arm off. I mean,
he sliced completely off. Holy crap.
He's like, give me your arm.
What kills me, though, is that there was a total Indiana Jones moment there.
Yes.
Where, you know, you've got Optimus Primal with his swords swinging them around, and Megatron's just like, yeah, right, pulls out the blaster, just shoots him.
Uh-huh.
You almost see that Harrison Ford smirk when he, yeah, right, I got the gun.
Here, take it. You know where to shove it.
Yeah, but then he gets his arm lopped off afterwards, so.
And my last note. Yo, everybody, out of the pool! Gotta love Rat Trap.
Okay, I'm totally not remembering that line.
That was the last line that Rat Trap made before, while they were extracting Rhinox when the base was blowing up.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
It was one of the funniest quotes of the show.
Yep.
There was a lot of really funny quotes in the show, so I don't know. That one didn't jump out at me.
Well, it jumped out at
it was.
Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, technically it's a throwaway, but at the same time it's not. It's an entertaining throwaway with a very, you know, basic plot device. So, I mean, it was. It's one of those episodes that you could stand to watch numerous times.
Oh, I could watch it forever.
Normally, I don't go all biblical, but one of the reasons why this line stood out for me was because, and it's actually comedy biblical. Bill Cosby had an album back in 1969, Bill Cosby himself, where he's talking about Adam and Eve in a comedy skit.
Right.
And because Eve took a bite of the apple at the end, Bill Cosby's, you know, he's acting like, what would God say? And he's like, okay, everybody, out of the pool. So that's where I recognize this from, as being a line from the Bill Cosby CD. And that's why it jumped out at me.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Really, really good lines. Optimus Primal says, yes.
Mm-hmm.
When Scorponok gets is recovered from underneath the electrical rubble, Megatron calls him an idiot, and Waspinator says, "Idiot is comatose," or "Idiot is not responding." "Idiot is comatose." I died. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
There's a nice scene where a Rhinox is pitting Pterosaur against Scorponok. And he's like, look at him, he's smirking at you. And Pterosaur goes, he's a smirker.
No, yeah, Scorponok said that, not Pterosaur.
Oh, he said it about Pterosaur. That's right. Because Pterosaur is always smirking.
Well, he's Starscream. What do you expect?
Yeah, but I mean, Scorponok, at his most competent, then does a complete somersaulting flip over Rhinox to attack Pterosaur.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very cool and funny, but I think Waspinator had the best lines in this one. I mean, after he got, you know, the shit smacked out of him, went loopy, but he was singing the G1 theme song.
Yep.
That was great. I was literally laughing out loud 4 or 5 times through this episode, because the writing was just awesome, and they kept bringing it out.
Yeah, they did have a lot of funny lines and a lot of good play on characters, especially with the Predacons for once. And it was just nice to see somebody go in there and just kind of rattle their cage. Hmm.
That was well done. They really made a good use of all the characters. I mean, and you know, especially Rhinox.
Oh, yeah. So
they you know, brought more of his personality out. And kind of explain that he doesn't really want to be the leader. He's more than happy to be a support guy.
Yeah.
You know, until he turns evil. And then he's like, you know, heaven doesn't want me and hell's afraid I'm going to take over.
Pretty much. What?
You okay there, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah? You didn't even say, I don't know. It's not time to take a drink yet.
I don't know.
Swig, swig.
That's right.
What about Tuesday?
The Beast Unleashed drinking game. If Mike doesn't know, everybody takes a drink.
No.
We'd all be drunk before the end of the episode.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Some of the things that I liked during this episode were the battle scenes in the beginning. It was all very shaky cam. I mean, you know, it was like, the whole camera was moving back and forth, and there's gunfire flying everywhere, and you know, people getting shot down, and it reminded me a lot of the storming the beaches of Normandy and Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's kind of sped up and moving around, and it was neat. I mean, it was, you know, 1996 CGI, so it wasn't, you know, as cool as Saving Private Ryan, but you know, it reminded me a lot just the way they rendered those scenes. But it made me wonder, what the heck were the Maximals searching for anyway? It's like, isn't there an entire mountain of Energon, and yet they're out in the middle of nowhere getting themselves stuck on precipices looking for it? It just didn't make any sense to me. And you know, and on top of that, they're supposed to have sensors that let them know when Predacons are sneaking up on them.
Well, their sensors don't quite work outside the base, and they were looking for Ladybot.
For chicks. Yeah.
They just didn't want you to know what it was off screen, so they're like, let's get Rhinox in there and let him just get taken, because they're going to screw themselves, and then we'll go save them, and then we'll walk home.
And sniff flowers.
Yes, a little bit of sniffing.
We're going to sniff some flowers. Yeah.
Or whatever kind of plant you like.
Did you notice Optimus reading again at the end?
Mm-hmm.
This is the second time I've seen him crack open a book. I'd be interested to see what he's reading.
Mm-hmm. He's reading The Covenant of Primus. He just started it. He won't finish it until the end of the series.
The First Church of Primus. And oh, that is really screwy, too, because by the end of Beast Machines, he's all spiritual and shit.
Yep.
You might be right.
He's like, I am your Moses.
Who else caught the Wonko the Sane reference?
I did. That was based off a Transformers fan.
Well, it's about Benson Yee, though.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben Yee used that as a screen name, but...
Right.
It goes back...
That's where they got it, though.
Wonko the Sane was a minor character in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series.
Mm.
And that is where Ben Yee got the name.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. That when he said that, I was like, oh, it's Wonko the... Why would they reference Wonko the Sane? That makes no sense. But, you know, just a second earlier, he was referencing G1 Shrapnel. And I was like, how cool would it have been for him to have been Shrapnel?
Yes, but he couldn't be Shrapnel because Shrapnel was turned into one of the sweeps.
Well, for all we know, maybe one of the sweeps was turned into Waspinator.
Unicron was dead by then. Who has that power?
Well, no, the idea is that, and this is if you read more into the, you know, the background. I don't know if this is fan fiction or if this is actual the thing or what, but the Autobots and the Predacons, the Autobots and the Decepticons were, in order to conserve energy, were downsizing themselves into smaller Maximal and Predacon bodies. And that's where the Maximals and the Predacons came from. Now, the ones that didn't, I'm not entirely sure who didn't, but like if you look at like Ravage, you know, Ravage underwent the Predacon downsizing, and that's how he got his Jaguar mode.
And he still turned to a cassette.
How cool is that?
With
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah, but suffice to say, you know, there was supposed to be, you know, stragglers who just didn't undergo the downsizing, but the majority of them did. And the idea that maybe, you know, one of the sweeps downsized into a Predacon body, but the downsize went wrong, and he reverted back to Shrapnel. Or maybe there was something even worse going wrong, and he ends up being Waspinator, a completely different character.
He got hit with cosmic rust.
Cosmic something.
It ate the Unicron shell.
I'm really surprised there's not fan fiction out there that goes a little bit more in the detail. It might not, you know, might not be canon, but you know who would know? Brian Kilby would know.
Ben Yee.
Ben Yee might know. I've never actually spoken to Ben
Yee. He was a consultant.
Was he?
Yeah, he was he's a consultant on all things Beast Wars.
I sat next to him once at a Hasbro presentation at one of the BotCons, and I recognized him, but I was too shy to say hi. I totally should have been like, "You're Ben Yee," but I didn't. I was shy.
You're that one guy that has that one site that has to do with Beast Wars.
Yeah, because at the time that his site was called, you know, Beast Wars Transformers.
Yeah,
that was before they changed it to Ben's World of Transformers.
Yeah, because it kind of expanded past there.
Well, after Beast Wars, you know,
bit the dust.
Yeah, exactly. After they canceled the series, or even actually after they canceled Beast Machines. But you know, that was a long time ago. I remember way back in the day when he was putting up Beast Wars information on that site. I thought that was the coolest site ever.
That's back in the day when I stole from other people to create my site.
We still steal from people to create our sites.
Well, that's the whole reason why I did build a site for myself. Because, I mean, I've been a huge Transformer fan for, like, you know, the last 10 years, but I was never really interested in doing a site on my own because there were other people out there who were doing, you know, a better job. Like, Ben Yee was doing it at the time. TransFandom was, like, my go-to site. They then split up, and I don't remember exactly the backstory, but TFW 2005 came off of that, and I guess all the people who wrote the news for TransFandom went with TFW 2005, and within a year or so, TransFandom was defunct too. But it's like, well, these guys are doing a fantastic job with their site. They obviously have ties to people in Hasbro. That was back when Orson was writing. Aaron Archer was putting out spoilers on TFW 2005 under the username Orson. And when it became known that that's who it was, there was a huge stink because, like, Cybertron.com and what's the other site called?
AllSpark.
AllSpark. Yeah, they were complaining because it's like, well, why don't we get, you know, attention from Aaron Archer? And there was a big stink, and Hasbro basically made Aaron stop.
See, that's just retarded. They should have just been like, oh, we get little sneak preview of information.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, why can't we all, you know, just get along?
We can't share.
Yeah. But, yeah, and eventually Orson quit posting.
Yeah, but, that's lame.
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't exactly post well back then. It was all very cryptic and, you know, it just went to show that the guys at TFW 2005 had an in inside Hasbro. They knew people there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, I don't know anybody there. Well, what can I write? What could I put on the web that would, you know, is going to beat that shit? So I just never bothered. I mean, I'm sure 10 years later, you know, I whatever site I put up may have built up a following, but I just wasn't motivated.
Yeah. It's okay. Neither are we.
Well, I know. I built one.
Well, no, I'm just surprised that you know, again, that I even put forth the effort to do this, because...
excuse me?
No, I'm serious, because it's like, what the hell have I done in the last 10 years? I haven't built up any sort of, you know, user presence. I don't contribute to the boards. I don't have a website. I don't... You know, I mean, I'm a big fan, but honestly, am I very social? Nah, not especially.
Well, you're fun to talk to. So anyway, Dark Designs.
Moving right along.
Steve, what were your thoughts?
Overall, I'd say it's a good episode. I would recommend watching this because, again, it's also a foreshadowing to a later season of, a later incarnation of the show, anyhow. But it also kind of shows Rhinox's dark side.
Right. Okay, I guess we will move on to the next episode.
Perimeter shield online. Sentinel now active.
Optimus will rue the day he left this clone alone. Now, what was it Megatron said to do? Oh, yes.
Please enter deactivation code.
Deactivation code? Megatron said nothing about that. Well, I'm sure I can figure it out. There, that should do it.
Code incorrect. Scanning user. User identified as Dinobot. Beast mode.
Yes, 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 I'm Dinobot, and I order you to deactivate.
Maximal energy signature not present. Please enter deactivation code. Code incorrect.
Megatron said this would be easy. Sentinel, stand down.
Perimeter shield deactivated.
Ah, yes, I've done it! Clone one to Megatron.
Megatron here. Report.
Phase three accomplished. Defense grid deactivated.
And the Maximals?
Off on a wild vermin chase. The base is yours. For the taking.
Excellent. Yes. I'll be there shortly. Megatron out.
You! What you might have been had you not betrayed Megatron. Dinobot, maximize! What are you waiting for? Transform! So I can finish you with honor! I can't! Of course! You're nothing but a clone! Well, far be it from me to fight an inferior foe! Fortunately, I don't share your stupid sense of honor!
Unguarded. It almost seems too easy.
Megatron! Where are the others?
Preparing an ambush for those Maxima fools. Then when they return here, I'll finish them with their own defense grid.
Your brilliance is an inspiration to me.
Oh, you are a most enchanting creature. I may just clone the rest of my troops.
And now, my leader, the prize is yours. Sentinel, activate perimeter shield.
Ungrateful clone. You're as treacherous as the real Dinobot.
Correction! I am the real Dinobot!
So, you managed to best my clone after all. A pity.
Up next is Double Dinobot. What?
Double D's.
You dirty old man.
That makes me giggle.
Megatron creates a near-perfect replica of Dinobot, flawless in every way except that the Saurian's simulation cannot transform into robot mode. Meanwhile, Pterosaur traps the real Dinobot within a nearby cavern, and the Maximals are none the wiser. Megatron's mission for the clone, enter the Axelon and disable Sentinel.
Yes.
I don't know. These.
Stop, take a drink.
No, shut up. This episode, I actually. When I was watching it, I only wrote two notes, and then as we were talking about Dark Designs, I was thinking about, oh crap, I only have two notes. What the hell am I going to say about Double Dinobot? And then I added another one, but my first note was, when Dinobot transforms, the head spinning. Ugh. It kind of reminds me of The Exorcist.
That's why Dinobot's cool. Spinning.
When Dinobot transforms from beast mode to robot mode, his head spins 360 like the chick in The Exorcist.
And it makes the sound of a top on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, I never noticed that.
You'll have to go back and watch it.
It's one of those party raffle spinner things.
See, now the horror movie that I was reminded of was Frankenstein. Not so much scary as The Exorcist, it's an older movie.
That's because you read the wiki.
Actually, the wiki only mentions Mary Shelley. They don't say anything directly about Frankenstein. But,
no, it
but,
does.
In really the beginning, I just from, you know, seeing countless Frankenstein movies, and the Young Frankenstein from Mel Brooks was just as good. But Megatron, in the beginning, he's, you know, kind of got the whole mad scientist thing going on. And I really expected him to be like, it's alive! Alive! But he didn't, and that was kind of a letdown.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the whole Frankenstein thing, because, again, it just shows my dedication to this show, or to any of the shows that I do research for, when attempting to find really cool artwork. I got a freeze frame screen cap of Megatron black and white as the lightning flashes, and that'll be the art for this episode.
Oh, neat.
Yes.
In black and white. So you were thinking Frankenstein,
yes,
too.
This is my thing with this episode. Megatron treats him like it's basically his son, as he, you know, as well as a pet, because he pets him on the head and tells him what a good Dinobot he is, and says, yeah, even though you can't transform, you're still number one to me. And then, you know, of course he has some weird and disturbing fixation with Dinobot, because again, he uses this in season three, and he does the mad scientist thing again with creating a Dinobot, except this time it can transform. So, I mean, it just goes to show you, Megatron has a soft spot for Dinobot.
Well, the thing about Dinobot 2...
I wish I could quit you.
Dinobot clone number 2 was, he was created with half of Rampage's spark and Transmetal 2 driver. So that's why he could transform.
Plus, he was experimenting with the Cyber Raptors in episode 3, I believe it was.
Right. Sentinel has super awesome defenses against imposters. Punch, 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 code, click.
It sounded just like that too, right?
Well, because the clone didn't know the code, and Sentinel would shock him every time he tried to enter the wrong code. And yeah. I noticed the Sentinel voice, every time the code was wrong, the voice would get deeper and more vicious.
It's got a personality, or a sense of humor, I should say.
And then my final note for this, I know this is very sad, but he was very tasty.
He was quite tasty.
Whatever he said.
I thought that was funny. You know what? I don't think either one of you have seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No.
Okay, because there's a funny quote in the Rocky Horror Picture Show where they're all sitting around at dinner, and they said, you know, well, what about Eddie? What happened to Eddie? And Frankenfurter says, that's a rather tender subject. Another slice, anyone? Because he cooked Eddie.
Oh.
And they were eating him.
Ew. That's exactly why I will never see that fucking movie.
Oh, it was funny. And they're all sitting around the table, and they've got like a bite in their mouth, and they're chewing, and then they go, just spit it out. Everybody except Rocky. Rocky's like, what? He's just eating more. Rocky didn't get it. Oh, anyway, yeah. So I thought that was funny.
Steve, any other notes you have for this one?
Steve,
I'll definitely have to be doing some editing on this clip. So, Steve, do you have any other thoughts on Double Dinobot?
Yes. Why is it Megatron has a fixation on Dinobot's DNA and spreading it all around for everyone?
I'd like to spread some DNA on your Double Dinobots. It didn't even come out right, did it?
No, it came out fine.
Dinobot goes over and eats up the Dinobot, the clone Dinobot's DNA, and he likes dinners because he's only a few days old.
It's like, it's like eating babies.
He's like, mm-mm, good, because especially at the end, he's picking parts of them out of his teeth.
Actually, he picks it out of his teeth. He flicks it out of his tooth, and it flies and lands on
face.
And it lands on Optimus.
You're disgusting.
And then he just grins like, "Haha, you know you want some Dinobot."
Yeah.
I guess they kept the skin of that clone. It's later seen in Maximal No More and Code of a Hero in Dinobot's room.
And they show his room.
Oh,
yes.
Cool. Ah,
so he does like room. He kept a trophy
after he ate him.
Yes.
That's a rather tender subject. Another slice, anyone? Nobody else.
In between all the damn video links the two of you always talk about and freaking Rocky Horror Picture Show, this show is certainly going down a very dark hole.
I'd like to spread some DNA on those double D's. Anyway, okay. So I, God.
Come on, Michael.
Rat Trap surfs again in this episode.
Yep.
But they lacked the surfing music.
And that was kind of cool.
It would have been cooler with surfing music, but they were trying to ratchet up the tension because he was floating in lava. And I couldn't tell at first if he was floating on the log that he had fallen. Well, he was on a log, and then the log fell in the lava, and he, I guess, fell on a rock. Because you think he was on a log?
Down the river.
Floating down a lava river on a rock. I'm thinking, how could this rock be floating? It didn't make any sense. But, I mean, it seemed like he was floating down this lava river for a good 20 minutes. I mean, the episode was really slow.
That part was very slow, actually.
And it never really caught up. But what I did like was the Dinobot in a mirror sequence.
Yeah.
The Dinobot clone and Dinobot coming face-to-face, and they're like, mirroring each other's actions. And I liked it. I thought it was funny. It was probably, for me, like the highlight of the episode. Especially when, you know, contrasted with the Dinobot-on-Dinobot battle. Because as badass as Dinobot is, I kind of expected it to be a little more fierce when fighting himself. I really expected... I mean, considering the fact that he ate him later, I was kind of expecting to see a lot more carnage.
Yeah, that would have been cool to see.
I thought so. And it just didn't happen. I mean, yeah, they could have like torn each other's arms off and beat each other with them. I mean, it would have been epic, but it just was not to be. And
yes.
The G1 throwback was Dinobot saying, "As you command, mighty Megatron."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught that.
I missed that.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, you want to know something else?
He ate it up.
Well, besides that.
Yeah.
One of Megatron's quotes was, after, of course, getting his ass thrashed, he's like, "Well, I guess my revenge must be postponed until next week."
Same bat time, same bat channel?
Basically. And then there's a trivia bit. This is, while the Dinobot clone is trying to deactivate Sentinel, a holographic Maximo logo appears with Cybertronics saying, "Who is this puts Scally user?" Which I
putz.
Have no idea what the fuck that means.
The term is putz.
Yes.
Putz Scally user.
And then it says the shot changes to behind the projection as some more text appears next to a diagram that says, "Hey, Ian, go fuck yourself." Making one wonder whether Ian Corlett or Ian Pearson did to piss off an animator. Then the words Merv Griffin display.
Merv Griffin. That's unexpected.
That would be hilarious.
I'd like to spray my DNA on your double D's.
Okay.
Travel down this big dark hole.
I'd like to surf down your lava river.
Oh boy.
Next up, please.
Yeah, I think we have to move on because this is just going down a very dark tunnel that I don't want it to go.
I was getting late and we're all getting slashed.
About G, now it's almost an R.
And we got another, and now we got another episode still.
Eraser. Maximize! You're Rhinox.
How'd you know?
I'm not sure, but I think I owe you my life.
Let's say we're even. You were a little late this time, Optimus. Fortunately, Air Razor took care of business. They'll be salvaging Terrorsor for days.
Welcome to the Maximals.
My pleasure. Though I'm still not sure what to make of all this.
Yeah, if you're smart, you'll make tracks.
Pay no attention to the rodent. He was born with a major glitch.
You'll get used to everything, including them. Maybe. Now, how about a tour of the base?
When a spark goes online, there's great joy.
And finally up today is The Spark. A damaged stasis pod crashes to Earth after its orbit decays. Megatron sends Scorponok and Black Arachnia to secure it while Cheetor heads toward the crash site as well. Already on the scene, Rhinox races to save the life of the dormant Maximal within the pod. As soon as this episode opens, people who have already seen Beast Wars will know just by seeing the bird that, this is Air Razor's premiere episode.
Well, if you knew who Air Razor was, I mean, if you didn't know...
That's what I'm saying, for people who had already seen it.
Yeah, well, considering when they introduced Tigatron, it's like, there's something falling from the sky, and look, an animal! You know, and this time it's, there's something falling from the sky. Oh, look, it's an animal!
Yes. I have a note about that a little bit later, so we'll save on that one.
Okay.
Hopefully nobody steals my thunder on it. But as I was watching it, I thought it was an interesting story at the time, because I had just gotten to the point where Rhinox is racing to the pod, and it's like, wow, Rhinox is in action. That's kind of rare. I don't think we've seen that so far unless he's with everybody else. Because he's always back at the base tinkering with whatever he tinkers with.
It's rare to see him solo out in the field.
Yep. Rhinox explaining where sparks come from reminds me of Rodimus' trip into the Matrix.
Well, this was the first time they really talked about the spark.
Right, but I mean, still, it's a history lesson type of thing, so it reminded me of Rodimus' trip through the Matrix, where we learn the Autobot Decepticon history.
Yeah, except Rhinox isn't idiotic and suicidal.
Oh, knock it off.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Cheetor, because he just can't get a break.
Yes.
Because he was,
I thought he did pretty well for himself.
Well, you know he did, but it's, you know, he says, can a guy get a break? Because all these Predacons are around attacking him. And he got his ass handed to him by Black Arachnia.
Yeah, but, granted, he's got three separate Predacons attacking him, Normally, one would be enough, and he'd get his ass handed to him. I mean, yeah. I think he did pretty well, considering.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not saying, I'm not, I just sympathize for the guy. I mean, damn, can't he get a break? The Waspinator Splat Alert. He go boom from Energon Geyser. That's got to be the most interesting one yet.
He got Energon DNA sprayed on him. All right, we got to stop that. That is just wrong.
You brought it up. I didn't say anything about it. You brought it up.
We're going to have to break out the 70s porn music. Wow, chicka, wow, wow, wow,
I think
wow.
You just did.
Okay, John Holmes hanging out under the ground waiting for Waspinator to spray it.
And my final note is at the end of the episode, Tigatron is just smiling in the background, maybe because his other transgendered half has arrived. Because they become Tigerhawk later?
Yeah, I didn't catch that so much, but, I mean, again, unless you've seen the entire series, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I know. Yes. I've seen the entire series, but, again, it was a long time ago that I actually watched the whole thing. I'm trying to watch it with a fresh pair of eyes now.
I know, but
as opposed to an old pair of eyes.
Well, I got those too. I was actually interested in watching these with my boy, just to see his take on it.
Uh huh.
And he's not really interested. Terrible.
He wants your Constructicons, but he's not interested in Beast Wars.
No, you know, Blaster. I think right now he's more into Mickey Mouse and Phineas and Ferb. Yeah, Beast Wars isn't his bag. And that's okay. It may be in a few more years. And we'll see.
You gotta brainwash them while they're young, man. What's wrong with you?
Well, I'm kind of torn. Yeah, well, I don't know if I want him to be a Transformers fan, basically, because then he'll be climbing all over my shit and trying to find the...
it's all I need. A true 10-year-old.
That's when you get him into, like, Batman or something.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll be wanting to fly to Michigan and steal all Steve's toys.
Shit, I'll give them to you.
Michigan's not that far away.
Mm-mm.
We could be there in a couple hours.
Wow. Okay. What do you got, Michael?
I like the character development in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, Tarantulas is still scheming. I mean, as soon as he sees that pod, he's like, ho-ho-ho, I'm going to get this one, and... denied. I liked the banter between Tigatron and Cheetor, the big cat and little cat.
Yeah,
I thought that was funny.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and Black Arachnia finally has lines. I mean, we really got to see her, you know, kind of come into her own this time. She had lots of witty banter. A lot of trash talking with Cheetor.
Yeah,
you don't see that very often.
Yeah, and trash talking with Scorponok as well. She's like, why do you gotta be such a brown noser, Scorponok? You know, what's up with that? So yeah, she had a lot of lines. I was really surprised because up until now she's had maybe two in an entire episode. But yeah, lots of character development, lots of new stuff that we've never seen before. We'd never seen a Spark. That's a completely new concept. You know, the idea that a Transformer has a soul, but it's electronic, and it can be transferred from place to place. I don't think we've seen repair mode before. And it looked like...
No, that was definitely something new.
Yeah, it's like, he's just like, okay, I'm going to sleep now. And out he goes. And while he's under, he's dreaming.
Yep.
Rhinox is like, here's Robo School.
Yeah, well, I thought it was weird because you've got... we've seen, you know, the Maximals go into the repair bay. And while they're in there, you can access their core consciousness and talk to them. But, you know, this is a little different in the sense that he's kind of putting himself in repair mode, and yet his core consciousness is doing its own thing. And I wasn't sure if he was actually conversing with Rhinox there, or if Rhinox was actually connected to him somehow, or if that was just a dream.
Because I think it's a badass thing, but I think it was just a dream because Rhinox was doing stuff to Cheetor. He was taking his, what was it, controller chip or ion sphere thing or whatever the hell it was that they need to...
Audio vibratory reconciliator device.
Yeah, something like that. So I honestly think it was just a dream sequence. It was a dream sequence to give us the exposition of where a spark came from.
But it was a dream sequence that was later repeated at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So it's like he's precognitive.
Yeah.
We also see a protoform for the first time. The whole thing. Like in a casket. And and protoform jelly.
Ew.
Kind of mess with... I'm like, wait a minute. He's like Jell-O, and they're kind of jiggly, and then suddenly it's a robot.
Talk about spreading your double DNA all over the place.
I'd like to spread my protoform jelly on your spark. And your double D sparks.
Oh, God.
On your Lisa sparks. Yeah. Don't even bother Googling that. There's the protoform and the protoform jelly that's all new. We've never seen that before. It was just a very well-written episode where they kind of came in and said, we're just going to introduce you to a whole bunch of new shit that's really going to be important for the rest of, not even the rest of the series, but the rest of you know, Transformerdom, you know, even when you get in the Beast Machines. That's the whole premise. Megatron steals all the sparks.
Yep.
They're going to blow your mind.
That's right. And then at the end, whoop, out pops Air Razor.
Woohoo! Look, yeah. Rhinox made a baby.
Oh, God!
He did look a little maternal there at the end.
And Cheetor's like, who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
He's it's like, almost it like, is me.
It's almost like my line of TFA Optimus coming out of Swindle's chest. Oh, look, Swindle gave birth to Optimus Prime because of the transwarp thing.
Once again, Pterosaur loses his head.
Yes.
How many times are they going to do that?
I don't know.
As many as it takes.
He should have stopped while he was ahead.
Okay, you can stop while you're ahead.
Ahead.
Right now. Knock that off.
Yeah. But, this episode wasn't nearly as slow as Double Dinobot. But and they introduced a lot of interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was still... It's like, yeah, how long can you watch Rhinox agonize over this casket? You know, I mean... granted, there was some action going on in the background. You've got Cheetor back there trying to buy time for Rhinox. You know, and it worked out in the end, but it's like, man, this is kind of dragging a little bit. Again, not dragging nearly as much as Rat Trap floating down a lava river without any surf music to accompany it. But, you know, it was still... I can't call it a bad episode, though, because there's just so much new stuff being introduced.
Yes. Steve?
I would say it's cool just for the fact that, yeah, we did get to see, like, what a spark actually looks like. A little bit more in-depth in the stasis pods, and which I always thought the stasis pod was a pretty interesting concept, but the fact that they're basically robo-goo in this pod...
It was protoform cool. Jelly.
Yeah, I mean, it was something different. Whereas before, they're like, we will rise from your eggs, you know? It's like, that's kind of gay. Let's do something a little different.
Rise from your eggs? What was that?
That was in the movie.
Oh. Yeah, that was just so stupid. Who wrote that shit? Was
that Robo-Jism.
You only wish it was Michael Bay.
Somebody... No, I said robo-jism. Somebody give Rat Trap a jizz mop.
Ew. All right, that's just going too far. All over.
Like, we haven't gone too far over anyway in these episodes. I mean, hell, we're 5 episodes into this podcast, and every single episode has almost been gold.
No one's going to let their young children listen to this, and that's
really
why
it's tagged explicit. That's why it's tagged explicit.
It's the kids that buy the toys, you see, and they steer the parents into spending behavior.
Wait. 10-year-old kids are going on eBay saying, I want that $2,000 Beast Wars Optimus Primal that's gold. I don't think so.
But, Mommy.
Anyway,
I really, really want that $75 Minton package Waspinator, and when you bought it for me, you're gonna make sure that Scott McNeil signs it.
And if you don't, then I'm going to make Dinobot do his thing to you.
Do we have anything else
on this particular one? No. I was going to complain. Actually, now that you mention it, Scott McNeil, now that I mention it, you guys friended Scott McNeil on Facebook.
Yes.
Yes.
I have sent him 2 friend requests, and I think both of them were ignored. I don't think
he likes
me. He doesn't
want to be your friend.
He doesn't. I don't think, maybe I said something to offend him. I don't know.
I sent him 2 messages requesting interview, and he has yet to reply to me. I saw him active in the chat, and I tried sending him just saying, hey, Mr. McNeil, just to get a response. He logged off. So I don't know what really he uses Facebook for, because I don't, like, okay, and I know we're getting way off topic of the spark, but, like, people like David Wise or Flint Dilly or Marv Wolfman, they actually post status updates of, like, I don't know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I see Scott accepting friend requests from other people. And
yeah, me too. That's why I'm kind of.
And
like,
I see people tagging him in videos and whatever else. But yeah. I don't actually see him really doing anything. I even wrote on his wall and he still hasn't replied to me. So either he's really busy or he just doesn't like Facebook.
Well, I mean, he's a really talented guy. I'm sure he's in demand. I'm sure he's got lots to do and probably doesn't have a whole lot of time to mess with, Facebook. But at the same time, because I have a friend request pending, I see his posts, and he's always friending other people. It's like, Scott McNeil has friended so-and-so and 4 other people. And I'm like, well, he hasn't accepted my friend request, and, it's like, I dig Scott McNeil. I'm a big fan. It's not just Beast Wars. I follow some of his other stuff too, and I'm just not sure. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't listen to this, but if he did, I'd be like, "What the fuck, Scott McNeil?" Not quite those terms. It'd be more something more like, "Why?" No, because I've met him. God, 3 or 4 times, and my wife has talked to him. It's not as if he doesn't, you know, what? What are you laughing about?
Because maybe he wants your wife.
Look in the chat. Shut up, Steve. He's supposed to read it in the chat window. What the hell? I sit here and mute myself so Michael doesn't complain that I'm typing too loud. And then you go ahead and fucking say it.
You know, it's entirely possible he's seen pictures and said, hey, you know, that's one you know, hot chick he's got there. I think...
Probably going to talk to her on Facebook. You should have her try and request him and see what he does.
Oh, Jesus. That would be funny. I need to have her change her avatar to show a little more cleavage, and then Facebook request him and see how that works.
Good lord.
I know. It's Booby Wednesday.
Wednesday, this is how we do it.
Transformers fan pimps out wife to voice actor.
Well, no, I mean,
News at 11.
Yeah, see, it's just that my complaint was, you know, I'm a fan. I dig him. I dig his work, and I've friend requested him at least twice, and he's responding to other people, and yet I'm feeling kind of left out because I was ignored. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
At this point, I am more apt to. What?
I said I have feelings too.
And that just fits so perfectly with that.
I know.
Well, yeah. You know. At this point, I am more apt to get an interview from Melissa Joan Hart than I am from Scott McNeil. Because
you're totally going to interview Melissa Joan Hart?
No. But I'm just saying, because I friended her on Facebook and she responded. But what I'm saying is...
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
What I'm saying is that while it may suck for you and hurt your feelings that he hasn't friended you, it sucks for me that he has friended me and hasn't replied to my very polite, friendly, professional requests for an interview for our show. Anyway, we're getting way off topic of the spark, so...
Oh, man, you see now... Yeah, I'm actually thinking Melissa Joan Hart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry.
Anyway,
Melissa Joan Hart.
I'll get off.
I'd like to spray DNA on your double D's.
Alone.
What?
I said leave Clarissa and Sabrina alone.
Oh, I was about to say, you know, she was a little young in Clarissa Explains It All. I don't think I would.
That's jailbait.
Yeah, I don't really. I'm not sure if I would find that attractive.
For you? Well, for you, it's probably. No. It's not jailbait for you.
What?
She was born in 76.
Well, and Clarissa Explains It All, though. I mean,
okay, well, that character, right, but I'm just saying.
She was like, what, 15? Younger.
I don't know.
She was like 12.
Ah, Jesus. Yeah. No, she was much hotter when she was older, but... And when she did that Maxim spread, I thought I was going to die.
God. Okay. Again, way off topic.
Sorry. She was hot in that Maxim spread, though.
Right. The spark. Do we have anything else to say about Air Rangers premiere episode?
Did you see Melissa Joan Hart in the Esquire spread? Oh, my God. I'd like to spray some DNA on those double D's.
Oh, God.
I think I got it down now. I can do it without cracking up, which is...
Okay. The spark. Anything else to say about the spark?
No, sir.
Steve?
This obviously introduced the spark to the Transformers mythos. Cheetor calls Black Arachnia ugly.
Oh, that's right. I know.
And then he hits on her later in season 3.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah, you know.
Because they realize what rubber boobs are.
Yeah, it's like, you know. They kind of gave her a lot of curves, but they didn't give her hands.
That's what the other guys are for.
It's just creepy is what it is.
God.
She's got these claws, and it's like, you know, stay away from my junk. You got claws and shit.
I can use my mandibles.
This is the quote of episode 5.
It's called irony sport. I take over, and you head straight for the recycling bin. Yes.
You are listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
Okay, so I think we're just going to close this because, there has been more randomness in the fifth episode of this show than I think any other episode we've done ever. Oh, boy. Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First is you can stop by geekcastradio.com, find all the other podcasts there. Second is you can stop by predaconempire.com/nexus. Those are our forums. Third is you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. We have Twitter. The show name there is Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG1Mike. And Michael, what is your Twitter?
PeconCourtMichael.
And Steve?
SCP21.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we will be reviewing the two-parter of The Trigger. Yes, it's going to be a very short episode for episode 6. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips
and Michael Wilson.
Megatron, close the show.
Oh, yes. I am very, very unhappy indeed. Oh, yes.
This is Megatron, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Oh, yes.
What are you buzzing about?
Morphinator. Negative, negative, negative. I am Shrapnel Decepticon here.
Shrapnel? That was a Decepticon from the Great Wars 3 centuries ago. He's Wacko.
Wacko? No! Wanko! Wanko the Sane!